Hey everyone, welcome back to A Court of Tattoos and Rosé, where we go through and discuss all things romanticy with Madison and me, Blake. Caitlin is here! And today's episode is actually Call Out Caitlin Day.
Yeah, it's just gonna be Bully Caitlin Day. Literally just straight up. It is gonna be a Bully Caitlin Day. There are two things apparently that I'm about to be bullied about.
But you're bullying me for one of them.
I am bullying you for one of them. Okay. I just think it's kind of insane.
Shut up. So this is our 17th episode for House of Earth and Blood, Crescent City. We're going to be doing chapters 32 and 33. As always, we curse, we spoil things, talk about whatever we want. Be prepared. It's cool.
Be prepared.
Anyways. So, before we jump in, let's call out Caitlin. First off, yesterday morning, so Saturday morning. Oh! This is hilarious, okay? So, Maddie, there's this new food hall in Charlotte that, yes. One, I knew it was a thing, but I never knew it was open, because from the street, no signs.
It looks like it's closed, yeah. That's stupid.
Well, no, there's just no marketing whatsoever. It's very weird, and that's what
do
Maddie was
like.
Do they
need marketing, though? Because you guys,
yes.
So yes, no one was there.
It was like a slow... low steady. It was a steady stream, but not a steady stream of a lot of people. So, and then the one in the back, because it's like a food hall, and then behind it is a larger kind of brewery restaurant area that's known in Charlotte. This is one of their other locations that's new there. So that kind of helps anchor it. But yeah, the market itself and the food stalls, no. But one of the things at this food hall is a little supermarket, like built into the food hall, that is essentially like a 7-Eleven from like South Korea that you see on TikTok a lot, right? With all the amazing food that you're like, it's a 7-Eleven. What are you talking about? So one of those, if you've seen it, you understand what I'm saying, is it's like a soft bread with cream.
Okay.
Whipped cream and like strawberries, or there's like strawberries and kiwi. There's various things. It's like a whipped cream fruit sandwich, essentially. Okay.
Okay, no, these bitches were like fruit sammies. I'm sorry. Fruit sammies to me, I was like, what the fuck are fruit sammies? Like, it doesn't make sense. And I was just so confused at what this conversation, like, what this was.
When she says confused, she means, like, actually confused. So she's What is it? So I literally was like, it's like a soft sweet bread with like whipped cream. Oh, I'm in the text message. Don't worry.
I was trying to figure out what time it was, because I literally think I had to stop what I was doing.
Oh, it was like 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah. So I was out on a walk. I was literally going for a walk, and I literally had to stop in the middle, and I was like processing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I explained to her what it was, and she's like, oh, okay. That makes more sense to what I was thinking. And that made me think, I was like, fuck did she think we meant? So I was like, what?
I literally would have had the downloading symbol on my forehead. You know, the spinning wheel? That's literally what was processing in my head.
Okay. Now, look. She thought we meant two pieces of watermelon with a bunch of fruit between them.
And you eat it like a fucking sandwich. That's why I was so confused.
Okay, can we pause real quick? If you did that,
it wouldn't
hold
up.
Like the rind. Well, no, if you were holding the rind like this and it was like a triangle, if you put some like whipped cream and some fruit between that, I feel like it would be messy, but like I think it could be done. But like the fact that that is immediate, that was your mind, was like,
yeah,
watermelon sandwich. Yeah.
Yeah. That's legitimately what I was thinking. And I don't know why. But again, I literally would have had the downloading symbol on my forehead.
Maddie replies, so, ... a fruit salad? ...
What did I say?
And the kid goes, but in sandwich form.
Like, it's literally like you hold it like this. And it's like, I was thinking like they would put toothpicks in to like hold it in place a little bit easier. Yeah, dude, it was a long process.
I love that you even put the thought in. Like, you even put, you went so hard with your wrong thought that you then like, like added logic to it. Like, oh, they'll add toothpicks.
Yeah, that's literally, dude, it was a lot. I was.
So yesterday we sent her a picture of them, which they were really okay. Look, the fruit and the cream was really good. The bread was where they lost us a little. The bread wasn't the right like type of bread.
I feel like you need almost. I'm thinking like, do you know what like angel food cake is?
Yeah,
that'd be the type of bread that you almost need for that. That almost looked to me like Wonder Bread. Like
it really was. And like some of them that you see on TikTok are just like a regular white bread, and some are like a specialty like fluffy bread. So I think there's like some debate there. But Madison sent the picture. Caitlin just goes, oh yeah, that definitely makes sense.
It makes so much more sense. Like,
oh wow.
It makes so much more sense. That looked, those drinks look banging though. What were they, like Capri Suns? Like,
okay. Yes, they were basically Capri Suns. That was at like the brewery restaurant place. Yeah. So we walked in and it was me, Madison, Ian, and Eric came. We walk in and we're like looking, they had like a huge, you know, bar and everything. We'd already done like appetizers in the food hall, and then we went to this place for like the main thing, and then we went back to the market for dessert. It was a whole thing.
A whole day.
A whole thing, you know, it's fine. And they had like the, where the taps are and stuff on the wall, they had like the Capri Sun looking bags hanging. And we were like, those look pretty good. And of course, Ian's like, I want one. It's like, it's like a Capri Sun. And then Maddie's like, wait, I want one. So then she gets one. Ian got a different drink that was lit. Okay, background. In Charlotte, we have the Carolina Panthers NFL team, and their tagline is keep pounding.
Yes. who the fuck came up with that tagline?
I don't know who thought of it. I don't know why it's still a thing, but you will. It's very, very casual to just see like a bumper sticker that just says keep pounding.
And people, it's kind of like the South Carolina Gamecocks, where everyone just wears giant sweatshirts that say cock on it.
Yep. Oh, you've seen, I posted the cookie cakes that we get here during college football season. It'll just say Go Cox. And I'm like,
yep.
Okay.
Like, all right.
There's cakes that just keep saying, they keep pounding. And I'm like, okay.
That's anyways. Like, oh my God.
No.
I was just thinking, oh my God. So one of my good friends was like, yeah, we're like, I was talking to her and she's like, yeah, like we're going to try to like get pregnant. And my brain was off, literally don't even know where it came from, and I was like, I was saying goodbye to her and I was like, have fun with the baby making, and I was like, what, like what,
Caitlin? And then
bro, I don't know where my mind was. It literally just was, I was like, as soon as that came out of my mouth, I was like, yeah, this is awkward, I'm gonna leave now, bye.
I cannot.
So you can give them a cake that says keep pounding.
There, I mean, that would work. That would probably be less awkward than what you said, to be honest.
I can't. Dude, I was like, I was so brain dead. I think I was hungover. It was.
I don't know how you come back from that, honestly.
It's okay. They got pregnant, so that's all.
It was all thanks to your encouragement. I'm sure.
I literally texted her afterwards, and I was like, after she told me, and I was like, oh, so my awkward comment worked.
Jesus.
She's like, we don't need to talk about that again. I was like, okay.
So
back to the keep pounding, yes.
Yeah. Ian was going to get one too, and then he ended up with a drink called Keep Pounding Punch. And of course he was giggling as he was like, of course. This is so funny. The bartender, we don't think she was a little new. Ian's was not right. Let's put it that way. And it was like layered colors of like the colors that they layer with the different drinks, which is cool. But it didn't make sense because Carolina Panthers are blue. We don't have like multicolors or whatever. So I don't know what.
I mean, I would go with like blue, black. Like they do that.
No, it had like red and yellow, green. Like it was very weird. And she was just like not measuring anything. She was like, usually I'm like, oh, okay.
Flying by the seat of her pants.
Well, if they do it with confidence and they're not measuring, you know, you're good. But she was like, she literally went at one point, just shrugged her shoulders and went, And I was like, oh no. His was not great, but so he should have gotten a fruit punch or a Capri Sun, except Madison starts drinking hers and she like takes a big like drink out of the straw and then goes, this is sugar water.
And she didn't have any alcohol.
Well, it was supposed to have, I think hers had gin, it was supposed to have gin in it. And she's like, this is this is literally sugar water. And I was like, what? She's like, try it. I try it. She might as well have been a hummingbird. It was straight sugar water. Like, it had no, but it was so weird. So we were very excited. It looked really good. Mine was really good.
Wait, so did it have alcohol blackberry in it?
No, there's no way this thing had alcohol. Like, okay. They had to have, like, forgotten the alcohol. Also, like, in and of itself, it was just weird. But, like, my drink was good. Eric had a beer, and he said it was good. So, like, we picked well, I guess. But, so that's one thing to call Caitlin out for. The next.
What were we just talking?
The next. I'll give Caitlin. Look, anybody else that I've shown this binder to has had a similar reaction, but Caitlin's was also, you know what, I'm going to tie it in with your don't die this time comment. So I was able to snag a registration.
Hell fucking yeah, which are fucking impossible now.
Yeah, well, Syra got it. Syra ended up having to register us both in one fell swoop because my computers and my laptop and my iPad and my phone all hated me. But anyways, I am running my first marathon next January at Disney, of course. Come on. Yeah, I'm going to be running a marathon. And Syra's going to be with me for the weekend. She's running a half marathon on Saturday. She's going to fucking kill it.
When is it?
January 8th through the 12th is the weekend. So it's like the second weekend in January.
Okay.
The men folk might come down for the weekend just to cheer us on, you know, keep us from, just sleeping for 48 hours straight.
Yes.
So I already was, back in December, I decided I want to try to do a marathon and I knew I wanted to do the Disney one. It's just, you know, signups weren't till April. So I was like, oh, okay. So I started doing like, part of a training plan just to like get back in with running and everything like that. But it was more just like to get like in a place that I'd be good because I still am like 39 weeks out today from the race. Right. So like I've got plenty of time and most training things are like 18. I've seen some like 20 week, you know what I mean? Like they're not the full length, but I'd rather get started now and just get comfortable and be able, you know, when I'm in St. Lucia, I'll have the wiggle room and everything. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to like tweak I use the Nike plans and then I kind of tweak them to add some like Peloton stuff. I add in strength, yoga, things like that.
You need some cross training in that. You just can't run the full time.
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm trying to do some more yoga. I've got strength training at least 2 to 3 times a week, all this. So I was like, okay, I being me, got on Canva. Of course it was Canva and made myself weekly printouts with like a weekly schedule. Each one has a little different Disney thing on it. It's got my goal paces for training. So your mile pace, 5K, 10K, tempo, race, recovery, all of those paces. So I can know if I have this type of run with these intervals, I can look and know what paces I should be at. I've got a little spot to put my goal for the week. I've got a spot to record how much mileage I did. And then every week I go in with a pencil and I actually write in per day what I'm going to be doing. So I made essentially just a giant from scratch PDF of my training plan. I'm quite proud of it. It took me quite a while. I printed it out. I got a nice cute little binder. It's a little pastel purple. And I got plastic sleeves. So each week goes into a sleeve and then it's in a binder. It's my training binder. I showed it to Caitlin. And Caitlin was literally speechless. Speechless. But her face said it all. She was judging.
I'm so sorry. I think it's great. It's awesome. It's a great way to make sure you're on point with it instead of like printing it out every week and doing all that bullshit. But it's so fucking extra that I literally was just dying. I was like,
funny you should call it extra because I sent it to like Danielle, Elijah, and Jules and that is literally Jules. I got an audio message from Jules being like, you are so fucking extra. Yeah. I love you so much. And then when I showed Maddie was just like, oh, wow, that's a lot.
We all support you, but we just think, how long did this take you again?
To make it And not fill, because I only filled out 8 weeks at a time of the, I only did the first 8 weeks to, like, pencil in my training, because I might, like, up it, because I'm already running, you know what I mean? Like, I'm already above where the thing is. But to make it took, like, 2 hours, but that's only because so much Disney, it, like, Canva doesn't have a lot of Disney clip art and graphics to add into it because of copyright. So I was having to, like, go find them, save them, and then do that. Like, that is what took the longest. Yeah. And then the next night, so that was Tuesday, and then Wednesday night, it took me about an hour.
Blake literally just couldn't do, like, lines on a piece of paper. No, she had to add in clip art of the Disney shit, and she had to go find the Disney shit to add in. Oh, and each page is different. There are no, like,
repeats. No, there's no repeats.
There are no repeats of, like, the clip art or anything.
No, I had to have 39 different ones. And there's a Halloween one, a Thanksgiving one, a Christmas one, a 4th of July one for those weeks. Yeah.
Again, how long did that take you?
Again, it was only 2 hours and then an hour to actually fill in the first 8 weeks. But then that only took me a while because I was trying to figure out how to... Basically, each week of the program I'm doing, I'm duplicating. And just the second one, I'm in between. You see, you know what I'm saying? And then, like, how I want to do strength and yoga. So 3 hours total-ish.
Awesome.
I dislike you. This is also the bitch that when I told her I got in, she was really excited. She's like, oh my God, yay, ha, ha. And then literally within 5 minutes, she's like, please don't die at this one. If you guys remember, I didn't die, obviously.
Oh my God. There were genuine concerns where people were like, we cannot fucking get in touch with Blake. Madison finally ended up reaching out to Ian being like, yo, what the fuck is happening?
I didn't have my phone.
Blake was in the medical tent.
I was fine, guys. I just hadn't eaten quite enough. And I didn't account for the time in the carouse for my I didn't account for how long between my initial breakfast and my, like, pre-race breakfast for the timing. It was fine. It was also really, really hot that weekend, okay? I'm fine. Assholes. And then Ian narked on me.
Yeah, he did, as he should have.
He's a real bitch.
As he should have.
Real bitch move. But yeah, no, so I'm training for that. So that's exciting. That was my excitement of the week. But also, you know what I might do? Just for accountability too, and then people can see. I'll post in my story each week.
Fine.
I'll post a picture of my little cute little binder. And you know what? I know somewhere there's somebody listening that's like, that's a great idea. That's amazing. That's
great. They're
gonna ask for. Or if you're, you know what? If you're training, I have a PDF of it. You just have to change the paces for yourself and the dates if you want. I can send you the PDF that I made if anybody needs it. So
I hate PDFs.
Well, yeah, you would. So anyways, now that we've had almost a 20-minute intro for today's episode, if you stuck with us, thank you. Recap of last week. Honestly, Bryce is an icon, period.
Yeah.
Like, quick thinking. They go...
protector of... I literally just forgot his name. I could not remember his name.
So if you remember, they had to go back to the Comitium. We see Hunt's, like, very, very sad little dorm room, essentially. They had really bad timing, though. Sandriel was arriving. You know, previous owner / torturer / twin of his ex-lover for Hunt. And Hunt loses it. Just kind of goes still as a statue, but, like, with lightning around him, you know? To which he would have been royally fucked if not for Bryce, like, very quickly, like, oh, huh, just playing right into the party girl. Right into the party girl persona, and nobody questions it. Which is also kind of sad in a way.
You gotta do what you gotta do sometimes. It's just, like,
people are horrible. And you're probably thinking, wow, that's so cool. Like, if you hit that spot and you didn't go the next two pages, you're like, she's so fucking iconic. This is genius. Like, I loved it. It gets better. Because then Micah decides that's a good moment to, like,
ask her out,
look her up and down, be generally creepy. To which Bryce just calmly says, she is surrounded by beings with very, very good hearing. Just calmly goes, not interested. That is worse than a no for a guy's ego, I think. And I love it. Because, like, a no could just be like, oh, no, like, you know what I mean? Like, men will try to be like, oh, she said no, because, like, you know what I mean? They don't take no.
Yeah.
Not interested is, like, to me, I like that. I'd rather say that to someone, be like, not interested.
Yep, I agree. Because
it just, like, stings. You want to sting them, you know? However, as we're about to see, that, the excitement and the feeling, you know, euphoria, sticking it to Sandriel and Micah, doesn't last long. Unsurprisingly, he does not take well to the situation that happened. Although I do, like, I understand he's the shit anyways, but, like, it is really low of him to, like, part of this is he's taking it out on Hunt, that Bryce prefers Hunt, and Bryce rejected him.
Yeah. So. I'm a little bitch.
God, he literally is, like, just a toxic little bitch. So, they get back to Bryce's apartment. They drop off all of Hunt's stuff. And she was going to be looking at Danica's location. So, remember, Declan had...
Are we starting chapter 32 right now?
Yeah.
I didn't... Did you just mention we were starting chapter 32? I don't remember.
We're starting chapter 32.
There we go. Thank you.
Sorry. My bad. I jumped right in.
You did, and I was a little bit further behind.
My bad. So chapter 32. They get all of his gear. They're leaving the Comitium as quickly as possible. We saw that in the last chapter. So they drop all the stuff at the apartment, and Bryce is like, okay, I'm gonna go back to the gallery, specifically, you know, underneath the gallery.
Yeah,
she's gonna comb through Danica's locations again from Declan. Remember, he had been able to hack is a strong word, but we'll say gather. He gathered all of her location information. We'll go with hack. Yeah. So she's cross referencing it with her own list of where she knew that Danica was, and I'm like, I feel like that list is nowhere near complete. Along with the murder sites so far. However. Hunt's still a little shaken, and Hunt's like, I am not going underground. No way. So he's sitting on the roof, right? He waits. Bryce comes out. She's got Syrinx. Fucking love Syrinx. And so she doesn't look happy. So he, of course, is like, nothing. And she just goes, nope, nothing. So they're walking, and he just reassures her, right? Like, we'll look again. We'll see what's happening. And then he, like, I can imagine this perfectly of, like, he's kind of, like, casual, but, like, very, like, please say yes. You know, almost like a little kid.
Yeah, like please let me do it. Please let me do this. Please let me watch the game.
So, we know Bryce really likes, like, reality TV, essentially. Yeah. And, like, the, like, Bachelor-style Love Island type shit is what it seems like. And she, I don't want to say hogs the TV, but, like, they have that on quite often. Hunt goes, there's a big sunball game on tonight. You mind if I watch it? And I can just imagine him, like, walking and, like, side-eyeing her, like, quickly. Like,
please, 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 please.
Like, what are the vibes? What do we think? And she just kind of looks at him. And he kind of starts smiling. He's like, what? Like, she's kind of, like, looking at him, like, kind of bewildered, right? And she like waves a hand at him. And I again, I can picture so many of their scenes perfectly in my head. And she's like, you're such a guy. And Hunt, I like Hunt's response. Females like sports just as much as males. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
And she rolls her eyes and she's like, but this, you know, the sunball watching person doesn't fit with my mental image of the shadow of death. She's got a point.
She does.
He's just sorry to disappoint. What do you think I do with my free time? I don't know. I assumed you cursed at the stars and brooded and plotted revenge on all your enemies. That sounds exhausting. Fun to a certain degree. And he's just like, sorry to disappoint. And they have like a cute little moment, right? They're still on the high of escaping Sandriel, like the iconic moment, all of that. They're a block from the apartment when Hunt's phone rings. Once, twice, they look at each other. They look at the name on the screen. And then it rings the third time, and Bryce is like, are you going to answer it? He hits the button, says, hi, boss. He knows what's coming. He steps away from Bryce, so hopefully she can't hear it. Micah says he has work for him tonight. And then he goes, I hope I'm not interrupting your fun with Miss Quinlan.
Fight me. I wish they were having fun.
He wishes he was having fun with Miss Quinlan, but she's not interested. And so Bryce is just, or Hunt's just like, we're good. Micah pauses, and then he just goes, what happened in the lobby this morning is never to happen again. Understood? And Hunt just says, yes, he kind of has to, like, bite it out. But he also is, like, the alternative to Micah, who is a shit, to be clear, is Sandriel.
Yeah. Yeah. It's yeah. better so than what would happen if Sandriel did it. So
exactly. Which that in and of itself is fucking insane.
Yep.
And basically even Hunt recognizes, like, Micah's literally just doing this to put him in his place, right? To be like, yeah. you are low in the order. Calm down.
Yeah.
So there's a file waiting in the barracks. He reminds Hunt of the offer, which is also just skeezy, right? So Hunt has to, like, turn back to Bryce. She obviously knows she's not dumb, right? We've proven that again and again. And he's like, everything's cool. It's just Legion business. And he's just like, you head up. I've got something to do. I'll let you know if I hear about, like, the date and time to go visit Briggs. She narrows her eyes, but, and he even knows, like, she saw through it. She knows what he's about to have to go do. Like, she knows, but she doesn't push anything. She says, all right. And then over her shoulder goes, good luck. He gets Justinian. Justinian is bitching because he needs Justinian to go watch Bryce's place. And Justinian was going to watch the same Sunball game.
That's a stupid name.
I don't like it very much.
It doesn't make sense to me. It's a dumb name. It should be like
Roman name.
It should be like Justine. That's why I read it as Justine, and then they said he, and I was like, this name doesn't
I remember
make
that. You were, yeah. For the longest time, you thought Justine was a woman. Yeah, I remember that.
I was so fucking confused. It's such a dumb name. Okay.
If your name is Justinian,
I apologize.
Sorry.
Sorry. It's just there's too many, I's and N's. It's no.
There's two I's and two
and it just doesn't make sense. As a dyslexic, this lettering is awful.
Okay, that part, okay. That is fair.
Is fucking awful.
That is fair, but you saying there's too many.
There's too many. Yeah, but think about it. There's not a lot of names that have, like, two I's and two N's. Think about it. And the I's are close together, too.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't fucking make sense.
It's fine. Oh, God. Okay, so Hunt's doing what Hunt does. He's got this guy in front of him. Please. It was always the same word. The only word people tended to say when the Umbra Mortis stood before them. Yikes. Now, guys, look, I'm going to go ahead and preface this. I understand it's toxic, I do, but this is kind of hot. The blood splattered on his helmet, and he can, like, Hunt's just staring at the male cougar shifter that's cowering before him. Look, there's a lot of fan art with Hunt in the helmet that he wears. I understand, guys, I really do, but he could keep it on. At least once, okay? Don't knock it. But anyways, so a death for a death, he ends up killing the guy. The file he has says the male had done horrible things, unspeakable things. He deserved this, deserved worse. Hunt pulls the trigger. That's the guy's pleading. Now, I always really wonder
if it was made up.
Yeah, if these files were because we don't get confirmation we don't get 100% confirmation one way or the other. Now, I tend to think they probably were correct, only because even though Micah is a fucked up crazy man, he had his reason. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's still, in his fucked up logic, yeah, he was doing it to, like, keep Valbara
safe.
Safe, in a way. So, I think, and part of it is tinged by hope, that the files were correct. I don't know if all of them would be, but I think for the most part they would be. I think. So Hunt doesn't want to, obviously, he's got some blood on him. He doesn't want to go back to the apartment, so he goes back to the barracks. He does his kind of, honestly, at this point, it's like a ritual where he sits under the scalding spray that's like literally burning him. He was going to stay longer, but he knows Justinian, Caitlin's least favorite name, is waiting. So he, this is, okay, he half crawled out of the boiling hot shower and into the person he was when he wasn't forced to put a bullet between someone's eyes. That's fucked. Like, that's fucked up and super, like, he literally has to disassociate.
Yeah, that's awful.
The mental hit that, no, this is, I understand, even to this day, a lot of people are still, like, think, like, Hunt is, like, a bit one-dimensional or, like, kind of boring. I just, okay. I know you do, whatever. I personally, that stuff like this that I, like, makes me just want to be like, oh, my baby Hunt, I would love you forever.
I mean, I agree.
But, he walks through the apartment doors at 11. So not like crazy late. She's in her bedroom. The door is shut. But Syrinx lets out a little, ow, like to say like, oh my God, he's home. Which is funny because this once again proves that Syrinx is hiding what he can do from Bryce.
Yeah.
Because we know he can easily pop over. But he won't because Bryce doesn't realize he can do it. So it's like, he cracks me up because, like, one, he's always trying for double or triple meals, which, fair, don't we all?
Hey, it's, you know, smart. It's smart.
But, like, this is a blatant example of the fact that, like, he's like, I know you know I can do it, but she doesn't know I can do it, so I'm not gonna do
We're
it.
Not gonna have that conversation.
No, I could do it if I wanted to. Yeah, do it, exactly. You know, like, but when he does that, she scolds him, so he knows that she's awake. She opens the door and just says, you're back. And he literally has to, like, choke out the word, yeah. He can tell she's got questions by the way she pauses, but unlike Hunt, who asks every question that comes to his mind, Bryce, you know, reads the room and is like, okay, well, and this is cute. I recorded the game if you still want to watch it. So that's really nice of her. He can't even look at her at this point, and he just slips into his room with a knight and shuts the door behind him. He's just like, shame.
Aww.
So if that wasn't rough enough, he goes to the Oracle.
Oof. I would not want to do this shit.
Now look, okay. We are not doing House of Flame and Shadow spoilers, just know that, but I have a lot of questions about this chapter after House of Flame and Shadow, so, we are going to deliberate, just a heads up, on how much longer we will hold the Hofas spoiler embargo, because it does kind of hamper some interesting discussions to have, especially with the first book. So, we'll let you know there. But just know for this chapter specifically, I had a lot of questions.
There's a lot of, as I was reading it, I was like, there are so many questions now.
Well, there were a lot of things that I was like, questioning if I was forgetting or misremembering things from Flame and Shadow. You know what I mean? Where I was like,
I know. I was thinking this, and I don't remember this chapter very well either. I feel like this book was so long ago that I read it that I just don't remember a whole lot about it.
I'm trying to, like, okay. First off, you walk in and it smells like sulfur and roasted meat. No, thank you.
Delicious.
No, thank you.
Delicious. It's exactly what disgusting. I love smelling, walking into a creepy dark room where someone's gonna give me some fucking creepy future. Nah, bro.
This is Caitlin's nightmare.
Yes.
So, So she obviously has like a sacred temple, and so the god in particular that the temple is for is Ogenis, keeper of mysteries. So he walks in, the doors shut behind him. He's in the silent little chamber.
Great.
There's a hole in the center with a wall of smoke behind it.
Ooh, okay. Spooky. Don't look to the man behind the curtain.
Are you good?
Yeah, I'm good now for the moment. I'll have some other comments, I'm sure.
Apparently, Caitlin's got beef with the Oracle, so...
Dude, I just... You know what? They don't ever fucking make sense. They don't ever fucking make sense, and they don't give you any answers, and it's fucking stupid.
How many Oracles have you been to? Like, what do you
mean? I have never been to an Oracle, but whenever they're always in the book, they're always some mystical, like...
The way you said it is, like, personal. Like, fuck you, Oracle.
They never give you a straight answer, so you have to figure it out and interpret it on your own, and if it's wrong, oh, you're fucked. Okay. I'm done.
All right.
For the moment.
Okay. Sure. So, a voice says, I wondered when the shadow of death would darken my chamber. And again, this is another reason Caitlin probably hates her. So, the voice is young, full of light and amusement, but it's tinged with ancient cruelty.
Okay. Whatever.
I wish you guys could see Caitlin's face right now. Do it again.
No! It's young but old. Eh. Fuck off.
I love how much that bothers you.
I don't know what it is. It just makes me so irrationally angry.
That's fair. So, the thing is like, the Oracle is used to people that want to hear their, like, you know what I mean? They come and they're like, oh yeah, please tell me. Hun is like the exact opposite. He's like, look, I don't want to take up much of your time. I just got some questions. Like, I don't need to know my thing. Like, I just got, like, he's like the exact opposite of what she's used to, right? So he's like, you know, I won't take up much of your time. And she's just like, I shall give you what time Ogenis offers. Like, okay. Well, he's trying to not take up a lot of your time, but sure. So, Sphinxes are rare. Only a few dozen walked the earth. All of them had been called to the service of the gods. So not all of them are with Ogenis, but the gods. No one knows how old they are, where they came from, like...
Of course not.
A lot of mystery. They're very beautiful. This one in particular,
they're sphinxes.
Got a golden lioness form.
They're sphinxes.
They're so pretty. Hunt literally is, like, struck stupid with how beautiful she is. So, the golden lioness form, she's very graceful. She's just pacing behind the, like, smoke on the other side of the hole in the floor, weaving in and out of the mist. She's got golden wings. They shimmer as if they're crafted from molten metal. And then the golden-haired woman's face was as flawless as Shahar's had been. Why'd we have to bring her into it? I got beef. Anyways.
Suck.
Nobody knows her actual name. They just call her the Oracle. He even is like, is she old enough does she even remember her real name?
Of course she doesn't remember her real name.
So, she's just like, I don't know. She's kind of annoying, to be honest.
She's a sphinx, whatever. I always think about Harry Potter. That is literally the thing that I think about the most.
Oh, the fourth.
And the trial?
The Triwizard. Yeah, in the maze. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's fair. I always think of, is it Night of the Museum? One of them that has the, like, mini sphinx?
I think so, actually.
Like, I think so. I can't remember.
That sounds about right.
I think. I love those movies. Anyways. Okay, ask me your questions and I shall tell you what the smoke whispers to me. And he, like, he even gets a vibe that she's very alluring, but it's more in a way that a spider might, like, lure a fly into its web. Like, it's not a good vibe. You know what I mean? Like, not great. Or more like
a siren. She's about to throw him into the hole.
Right? So. And that's when he finally is like, maybe Bryson Rune had a point about not coming here. This is not a great vibe. And so he, being Hunt and kind of paranoid, which fair, I mean, in this world you would be. He's like, what I say is confidential, right? And she is, her answer's a little sus, but so she goes, once the gods speak, I become the conduit through which their words pass. Right.
Yeah.
But yes, this shall be confidential.
Right. I got a lot of questions, but yes, keep going. Yeah.
Okay. So he asks, why does someone want the horn? Because we find out, apparently when it was stolen, obviously they were like, oh, let's just go to the Oracle. She sees everything. And she couldn't tell them who stole it. Now, couldn't or wouldn't is a fine line. She refused to answer. So, who knows why? So, she kind of is surprised by the question, because I think she did expect him either to ask about his future or, like, the standard who took it. So she just stands and, or she just stares and stares. So finally the smoke swirls around her. He can't even see through it, even though he knows she's standing right there. And then, so there's a rasping voice to open the doorway between worlds. They wish to use the horn to reopen the Northern Rift. The horn's purpose wasn't merely to close doors. It opens them too. It depends on what the bearer wishes. Okay, a lot to unpack there. Hard to unpack with a certain embargo, but that's okay. Okay. And of course, he's like, the horn's broken. Nope. Mm-mm. Find out it can be healed. And he's like, what do you mean, man? No, I can't. What do you mean? And he's like, how? That's veiled. It's very interesting to me what is veiled from the Sphinx and what isn't, like from the Oracle. I have a really... Well, no, I had a theory on what would make something be veiled from them, but I don't think it works because of, yeah, because, well, we know from the end of Sky and Breath that, you know, the horn can take you to a different world. So my theory was that what was veiled, they can't see things that were in the other, like, world, like the world of Akhtar or something, you know? But that doesn't make sense because we find out how to heal the horn in this one with the synth.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? So I still find it very interesting. Like, what do they mean when they say something's veiled? Because to me, that sounds like an easy way for them to just not want to answer something.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, oh, no, it's veiled. What do you mean? Like, I would want some parameters of what that means. But anyways. So he's like, dude, the Fae say, like, it's the Fae's item. They say it can't be repaired. And they're like, nope, this is truth. The horn can be repaired. So he finally, even though he knows, like, they're not going to answer, who wants to do this? This too is veiled.
Of course it is. See? That's why they're so helpful.
You know what it's given? Elena. And Throne of Glass.
Yeah, no shit.
It really is. It really is. So he's like, oh, haha, helpful. This is where I think the Oracle got his attitude and was like, okay, fine, I'm gonna fuck with your head. I feel like that is what happened.
Yeah, I do the same thing as be like, you're being all like sassy and annoyed, so I'm gonna piss you off.
Yeah, I'm all powerful. I'm all mean. You wanna do this?
We're gonna play this game then.
Here we go. Be grateful, Lord of Lightning, that you learned anything at all. That voice, that title, his mouth went dry.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
Do you wish to know what I see in your future, Orion Athalar? So, fun fact, that's his birthday. And he's like, no one said that in 200 years. And then the Oracle's like, going for the throat. Oh, the name your mother gave you? Ooh, that's a low blow. You don't go for the dead mom. That's mean. And he just says yes. And his gut kind of twists because he remembers the undying love and how great his mom was, right? So then the Oracle whispers, shall I tell you what I see, Orion? And he's like, no, I'm not sold. I don't think I need to know. And she's just like, people come from across Midgard to get their like futures. Like, you don't want to know. And he's like, I thank you, but no. Mm-mm. Like, thank you so much, but pass. Hard pass. It even says, thanks seemed wise. Like, something that might appease a god.
Yeah. I think that's probably a good one.
And then she gives, like, a very, like, toothy smile, like, to show her canines. Did Bryce Quinlan tell you what occurred when she stood in this chamber 12 years ago? his blood goes turns to ice, and he's like, that's her business. But also he's probably in his head going, what the fuck?
What did she do? How did she fuck something up so badly?
Right? And the Oracle just keeps that creepy smile. You do not wish to know what I saw for her either? And he's like, nope, it's her business. And like his lightning is his power, even with the crown and everything, is rallying inside him. Like his power is reacting to the Oracle and wants to like attack and protect him. So that's interesting. So she blinks and says, you remind me of that which was lost long ago. I had not realized it might ever appear again. That just clicked with me. I was about to say, how is an Oracle surprised by something reappearing? Never mind, it makes sense. Okay. I need this embargo up, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
This embargo's really killing us.
It's killing us. It's been almost 3 months. We'll reevaluate and let everyone know at the beginning of the next episode.
Yeah.
Okay. And like Hunt's not even ready to ask what's going on, but she just swishes her tail and the door's open. But before she stalks back to like her little like area, do yourself a favor, Orion Aflar. Keep well away from Bryce Quinlan. Again, I've got a lot of questions on that. But I do like, Caitlin, what you said, where it's like the complete opposite, but yet the same type of style of stay with the High Lord from the Surreal.
Yes, 100%. It's very much like stay with the High Lord.
Yeah, that's
kind of
weird.
And it's like giving me that vibe, and something's going to fucking come out in the fourth book, I'm sure. That's going to be... It's going to take forever. We don't even know what... I know. And the whole like hints that she's dropping right now is just not helpful. Sorry.
I'm telling you, the North vibes. I won't get your hopes up. I'm sorry.
Don't get my hopes up. You can't do that to me.
I'm sorry. Okay. Caitlin, what are you currently reading?
So how you know how I was with like the neighbor killing vibe?
Yes.
I'm with a coworker killing vibe now, apparently.
Oh geez. Okay.
It's called The Coworker by Freida McFadden. And I think she wrote, hold on, she wrote another book, which I can't remember, that I really liked. So that's the reason why I'm reading this one, Freida McFadden. I can't remember. What was her other book? Hold on. Oh, The Housemaid. So she wrote The Housemaid, which is a really good thriller book. A lot of twists and turns. Like, it worked out perfectly. But, so this one I'm currently reading is about, like, a coworker that is going missing, and I literally am like all over the place with like who the killer is, and it's slightly annoying me, so I'm like trying to speed read through it, but I'm also trying to restrain myself. So that is my current book read, which I'm going to be working on my thrillers list too, because there's a few other books that I need to read for the summer. My pool reads.
Your pool reads, yeah. You got to post that in Discord, too, once you put the list
I am. I have a little bit of it going, but there's a few more books that I want to look to see if they're coming out during the summertime or not.
I love the idea of just, like, summer poolside thrillers.
Hey, it's true, though, like, because, like, you want to be out in the sun. You need to be someplace happy. Like, I literally cannot read that in the wintertime because it freaks me out. It gets dark very early, and I live alone, so it's like, it's a little creepy sometimes.
That's fair. I'll give it to you.
Yeah. All right. I'm working on that list.
So be on the lookout for that, guys. I can't remember. Did I talk about Mercy last week?
Mm-hmm, I think so.
I did? Okay, yeah. So I finished that. That's the fourth Salacious Players. I reread A Dawn of Onyx by Kate Golden. So that's the Sacred Stones. The sequel dropped, The Promise of Peridot. It dropped Tuesday. That's what I'm reading right now. What did I get to last night? Like 60% in. It is so good, but I can already, one, Danielle finished it and was like, I need somebody to finish this, and like was like, oh, so I already know like I'm going to finish it and be like, ah, and the next book doesn't come out till October, which is honestly, like, given it's April, that's pretty soon. Like, that's like 6 months. So like, it could be worse, right?
Yeah.
So I'm reading that, and then I've got like so many one-off recommendations that I keep getting like left and right. I need to like actually... not sit and write a TBR, because we all know that never works, but like actually like sit and like debate like what are my next couple books.
Yeah.
And then I've been listening to the audiobook of Power West. I still really like it. I'm just trying to slow roll it because I've been warned that I need to just get to as close as possible to when the second book comes out, which isn't until June or July. So I'm trying to give myself some base time. All right. Social media, ACOTR podcast. You know where to find us. You know Maddie, Breathless Lit PA. Caitlin is a ghost. If you need to talk to her, let us know. If you're part of the Patreon, she's on Discord, so you can tag her there. My Instagram shout out is Megan Bartlett. She reached out. She was wanting more information on, she's embarked on the Zodiac Academy journey, and she was asking, and I was like, I haven't finished yet. I'm waiting for it to be complete. I can't. After the end of the fourth book, I was like, look, I enjoy it. It's a rough read. Like, they are very emotionally draining, and you will want to throw your book, but they are entertaining, and I do like the characters in the world. But I did already tell her once she hits the end of the fourth book, I need her to message me immediately. I need to discuss. Our Patreon shout out is Roxana. She won our first quarter reading challenge, so she will be getting a book of her choice. Our quarter two, or however you want to say it, our whatchamacallit. Quarter two, second quarter, I guess sounds better. Reading challenge prompts are up, so that's for our book club members and above, so book club and wine night. Basically what that is a reminder is we'll have three prompts. You have to have a book for each prompt. You just post a picture and a summary of it by the end of June of this year. And then once you complete all three, your name goes into a drawing, and then the winner gets a book off their Amazon wish list or an audiobook or anything like that. So it's very exciting. Book club, just a reminder, our April book club, we've got The Everking by LJ Andrews. That is Blakey's book club. And then Mads is doing Fool's Heart by Emmy Sanders. We'll get dates up for possible book club nights soon. It'll be maybe the last weekend in April, but it might we might keep it the first weekend in May. It just depends. We're getting into crazy season for travel and things like that. So we'll figure that out. Otherwise, we'll be back with a Thirsty Thursday episode this week. And I think that's all I've got. Let me think. Yep. Okay. So with that, guys, we have let me pause. Oop. Okay. There we go. I hope you have a great start to your week. And as always, cheers to our high fae bays. Bye.